It's exercise time. Oh no, sorry. Got ahead of myself. It's actually wellness watch time. Good afternoon, and indeed, welcome today to a program about how to create exercise time. I'm Linda Carlson, your host for this monthly wellness-oriented program. Looking back over the year, I realized that with the emphasis on obesity and diabetes, it was high time to talk about where the rubber meets the road. It is exercise time, and it's brought to you by WGXC 90.7 FM on your dial. I do want to emphasize that I will mention it again later in the program that do not begin a moderately active exercise program without your provider. Whether it's your nurse practitioner, a PA, or your physician, without their approval if you haven't been exercising regularly. So what I hope we can get to today is all the benefits of exercise and how to create your own personal plan, how to be your own personal trainer if you can. So that's what you'll want to have with you when you talk with your provider. And I'll also be using some wellness coaching language. There are times when just having a high level of awareness and some motivation just isn't enough to stay on track. So we'll see if we can do some virtual coaching. You know, I had my own personal experience 2 years ago. I had lost about 25 pounds over a period of a year. And 2 winters ago, I couldn't stay disciplined through the winter, and I regained 5 of those pounds. I said, no more of that because it's not easy. We know that it gets harder and harder as we age to get rid of excess weight, no matter how little it is. So I did take my own advice and I joined a health club. And there'll be more to follow. I'll be sharing some of my own mastery experiences. And mastery experiences are those experiences that when we do them well, we can build on and it really keeps our motivation high. So let's begin with what's the difference between physical activity versus exercise? And I am going to read actually from a great book. It's the Mayo Clinic Fitness for Everybody, Your Guide to a Life of Fitness and Health. And these are available if you go to the mayoclinic.com. This particular book is available as well as other books, and it's the mayoclinic.com. So they tell us that physical activity refers to any body movement that burns calories, such as mowing the lawn, walking up the stairs, making the bed, or walking the dog, maybe even the cat. I have seen some cats on harnesses. And then exercise is a more structured form of physical activity. It involves a series of repetitive movements designed to strengthen or develop some part of your body, or improve your cardiovascular fitness. So exercise includes walking, swimming, bicycling, and many other activities. Therefore, am I really tongue-tied today here? Therefore, exercise is a form of physical activity, but not all physical activity fits the definition of exercise. Either way, the good news is that many health benefits may be gained through regular physical activity, even if it's not in the form of structured exercise. I live in a three-story home, four, I guess, if you count the basement. And what I did for a while was wear a pedometer so I could get a sense of how many steps that I accumulated during the day just going up and down the stairs. So it all counts. And you know, some of the reasons to exercise is that, and very good news is that the more you exercise, the more you benefit. The more you burn calories, you know, if your caloric expenditure from exercise exceeds the caloric input through your mouth, you're going to lose some weight. So even a modest increase will yield some benefits. And actually, believe it or not, you're going to save some money. Now, I spent some money to join a health club, but a study from the Centers for Disease Control found that on average, physically active people had lower annual medical costs, fewer hospitalizations and doctor's visits, and they used less medication. And I think many of you out there know or have had the experience that a lot of the medications physicians are prescribing are brand names. New, hot off the line designer drugs that cost a lot of money, and that there may not be a generic available for that particular medication. So, in my book, that might be called a motivator. An interesting factoid is you might not know that many of your basic bodily functions decline at a rate of about 2% per year after the age of 30. So that's 2% per year after the age of 30. With regular exercise, you can decrease this to about 0.5%. It's not too shabby, that gain. So moderate activity can also help you feel, have more energy. And moderate activity is when you're able to feel yourself working, but you can still hold a conversation. So not only getting more energy, saving some money, you can lower your risk of disease and dying of disease. You can reduce the bad cholesterol, which is a very high risk factor for heart attack, and you can increase the good cholesterol. So if you walk 8 to 10 miles a week, you can increase that good cholesterol, and that's called the HDL. So for me, I started out at an HDL of about 62, and with walking, my apple, my flaxseed, I'm up to 102. And that's really terrific. You get a little bit of protection from that. So walking or exercise will help you manage stress. I read Prevention Magazine, and there was just an article in the most recent issue about a woman who got divorced and was so stressed, and she started to do some walking and running and marathons, and all of a sudden it was like, oh my God, this light bulb moment, what, my stress is gone. I really am feeling better. It'll help you sleep better. We know that sleep deprivation has been linked to increased blood pressure and breast cancer and some other diseases. For obesity, now, even without weight loss, studies have shown that exercise reduces death in people who are obese and they initiate a regular exercise program. Now, one caveat, if you stop this regular activity, this regular exercise program, you'll return to pre-exercise levels. Your blood pressure can go back up. So this is a huge commitment. You're going to have to maintain it for a long time. Diabetes, there's some benefit in reducing the risk of developing type 2 diabetes, but there's also the benefit of keeping the insulin levels balanced and blood sugar levels stable. So this mild to moderate exercise helps the insulin in your body work more efficiently, which then lowers blood sugar values. Now, one area that you may not have thought about because we've paid so much attention to obesity and diabetes is osteoporosis. And physical activity is likely the single most important influence on maintaining bone density and bone makeup. Well, I'll come back to that in just a little bit. And then arthritis, it helps to reduce joint swelling and it can reduce the perception of pain. But again, be sure to talk to your doctor before you begin any exercise regimen. It can help decrease cancer, colon cancer. It's been shown to reduce that occurrence because the exercise moves all of your foodstuffs quickly through the colon. It's when the food and red meat sit in the colon that they begin to fulminate and then predispose people to colon cancer. Going to help us live longer, going to give us a lot more energy, and maintain a positive outlook on life. And that positive outlook on life, yeah, this is a very circular process that I exercise, I feel better. I feel better, I can exercise more. I exercise more, I'm healthier. I lose weight, I can exercise more. I feel better, and on and on and on. So I told you, pay a visit to your doctor and talk about your medications, particularly if you're on antihypertensives and or diabetic drugs, or if you've been inactive for some time. Whether or not you have a family history of heart or lung disease, arthritis, asthma, high blood pressure, diabetes, and if you smoke, or if you're just unsure of how to begin, do have that conversation with your provider. So, what happens next? I've convinced you. I really do want to increase my physical activity. You notice I didn't say exercise. You could have exercise within physical activity, but we're gonna start small. But we want to talk about motivation. You know, what's motivating you? The things that I mentioned, having more energy, managing my blood pressure, maybe bringing my cholesterol numbers down. What's the motivation? Well, you say, well, you know, I want to lose weight because Christmas is coming and I want to wear a slinky red dress at Christmas. People are going to look at me and I'm going to be really cool. Well, that's what's called an external motivator. You want to reward yourself when you're doing something well and when you're being successful, those, you know, masterful experiences. But I'm not quite sure that red dress is going to carry you through the rest of the winter. It's going to be enough motivation to go make it till next Christmas. So you want to reach inside for some internal motivators. I want to live a long time. I want to live many Christmases. I really do want to feel better. So that's the thing to think about, not just those external drivers or people pushing you. It all has to come from within. And it's really hard to get started. So you look at your motivators. And not only what would motivate you, but what might be a demotivator. We'll get to some of the barriers and challenges in just a little bit and try to come up and brainstorm some ideas to overcome those barriers to increasing physical activity and exercise. But one of the first things you can do in that, in the initial steps, is do some pros and cons. What are the good things that I'm going to get from increasing physical activity? What are the bad things I'm going to get? That's always a fun thing to do. And you also may want to ask for some support. You can get it from your friends or your family. But sometimes, you know, you might have friends, family, you're doing a really good job and you're getting some outside successes. You're looking better. You have more energy. You're out doing more. They could try to undermine you. So you want to find those supportive people. People are really going to be your coach and your cheerleader. You also, your third step, you want to focus on the process and take small steps. There's an acronym that you might want to write down for yourself now, and it's called SMART. S is for specific. M is for measurable. So measuring implies that, oh, I'm going to have to do some tracking. Achievable, A. Can I really do this? Can I lose 50 pounds in 3 months? I don't know. Maybe I need to be more realistic. Here's the R of SMART. What would be real? The reality is that people who lose weight more slowly, say 2 pounds a week, are more highly likely to keep that weight off. And then is it time sensitive? So that I want to lose 2 pounds per week and keep it off, you know, for 2-3 years. So that's a SMART goal. your goals can be set. You can do short term, you can do intermediate and long term. And that long term vision, if you will, so, well, you know, what am I really going to look like? What am I going to feel like? You can create this picture. Close your eyes and look in the future and visualize yourself exactly the way you would be or want to be. For me, my vision is to be running, not really marathon running, but running instead of just fast walking across the Rip Van Winkle Bridge. That's a mile. I'd like to be able to run and sustain a mile. That's what I'm going to be looking like. So my intermediate term goal would be, well, in three, I'm going to work up to that in 3 months. So that intermediate timing usually is about 3 months, 3 month goals. So you have long-term visions and 3 month goals, and then I'm going to have some weekly goals. So this week I'll walk up to the bridge and I'm going to just run from the beginning of the bridge to where the high span stops. And I'll do that every day that I'm running, which is I'm walking, sorry, I'm walking, which I do about 3 times a week. And I'll build up. So that's a short-term goal for myself. So again, you want to be specific, measurable, and I think that would be a half a mile for me. So I'm going to measure, I'm going to run a half a mile, for the next 3 weeks. And I can do that. I know I can do that. That's realistic. And the 3 weeks, I'm going to do that. I'm committed. And when am I going to start? Well, I think I can start the first day this week when it's not raining. That's what I'll do. So you're going to want to monitor your progress. You keep track, and if you have an iPhone, well, I think maybe any phone, you can download applications, fitness applications. There are plenty of them there. And I would also recommend people who have a larger health insurance carrier. Many of those organizations are now offering downloadable apps to keep track. Or you can make your own little tracking device. With an Excel spreadsheet or a Word document, you know, build a table and just, or a calendar, print off a calendar and write down the first week. You can put it just a simple X. I did it this day. So self-monitoring, that can help you meet and refine your goals. If you are finding that, wow, that's a piece of cake, then it's time to stretch a little bit, set that goal up. If you're not achieving that goal, you don't want to beat yourself up. That's not a bad thing. Don't bring yourself down. Don't spiral down. The good thing is, okay, did I do it at all? If I didn't do it, I still want to do it, and then just start over. And reward yourself. It's really important. Now, you don't want to reward yourself with, a big ice cream sundae, any of the bad things for us. And I know bad is a judgmental term there, but things that are certainly aren't going to help us meet our goals, our healthy goals. So maybe new clothes, pair of jeans, some flowers, manicure for a woman. Man might just go buy himself a DVD. So there are plenty of ways to boost your self-esteem, become more capable of overcoming those barriers to exercise and keep moving forward. That's the really important thing. Just keep in the front of your brain, I'm going forward. There's no turning back. For me, I use the word non-negotiable. Absolutely non-negotiable. So here are a few tips for staying motivated. I have a whole laundry list here, but start slowly. And when you're making some changes, make them slowly. For example, if you started out walking 10 minutes 3 times a week and then extended each of those walks just 3 minutes, in 3 months, you would be walking more than 45 minutes on each outing. I really like that example. It's really, actually, it's a powerful motivator for me. So you want to make a commitment. It usually takes about 3 months to develop healthy habits. And notice, develop healthy habits. We're not going to talk about breaking old bad habits, because as you develop more healthy ones, they'll displace whatever was getting in your way to being healthy. And, you know, you're going to be wishy-washy sometimes. Do I really want to do this? So just accept it. You know, I think you probably have to be a saint of some sorts if you could just say, I'm on my way and nothing's going to get in my way, and it never does. So just accept that. It's called ambivalence. And, you know, you want to do it some days you don't. And then broaden your definition of physical activity. I think, you know, I mentioned in the beginning of the program, it's not just, you know, walking the bridge. That happens to be the thing that I like to do, but biking to the store, taking the stairs at work, you know, get that pedometer. In fact, one of the things that I did was I parked in Catskill at the furthest point in the Walmart parking lot, walked into the store to the back and out again, and it was about 1,000 steps. That's pretty significant. I think that might be a quarter mile. So wear a pedometer when you're walking. And then choose activities that you enjoy. You know, boredom is one of the major reasons people stop exercising. You know, going to a gym and just walking on a treadmill over and over and over and over again, you know, that gets pretty old quickly. However, that being said, one at the health club, I belong to Summit Hills, only 5 minutes from me. So, you know, I chose something very realistic. I can get there 5 minutes. Time, this is really awful to say, my visit there based on when the Food Network is on. So I can watch the food, I'm just not going to eat it. Also, I do yoga twice a week, but it's not plain, you know, slow moving yoga. Great instructor, Lex Gray, and we do 30 minutes of pump up and have a lot of fun doing that, and then 30 minutes winding down and doing yoga. So I do that two days a week. So, you know, create something that's a lot of fun for you. And then also, those activities, they need to fit your lifestyle. For instance, for me, I would prefer to do most everything by myself, but that group activity is motivating to see the same people. Boy, if they can be here year after year, I can be here too. But if you know, you like group, how about bowling or playing golf? These are very important things to think about. And discipline. Discipline is, that's a hard one for me. I tend to be a big procrastinator. But if you keep practicing the small steps and maybe have a mantra like, just do it, that you can get more disciplined. And make time for it. You know, use a calendar, put it on your calendar, put it in front of you and say, you know, this one day is non-negotiable. And then you say, oh, I really can't miss that, because if I miss that, I'm going to miss feeling really good. So that's the other tip. Remember how good it feels. That's a pretty good motivator for me, particularly the yoga and the stress reduction. It really interferes with bad thoughts spiraling out of control and the oh poor me and awfulizing. It's like, I know if I go there, I'm going to come away feeling really good. And then as you begin to feel those changes and see those changes, be mindful of them. Just stop and really meditate on, wow, this is really cool for me. You want to be patient. You have to be flexible. You know, the flexibility, I think, is a season, this whole idea of the seasons. I can't be doing the exact same thing during the winter that I do during the summer. And actually, sometimes during the summer, it's just so very warm. What am I going to do? Where am I going to go so that I can exercise outside of the heat? And you want to use and use good affirmations. And you want good words, you want positive words and images. In fact, there's a lot of work and studies being done around the concept of positivity, that you really can move forward and get a lot more accomplished being positive versus being negative. So an example would be negative self-talk. Oh, I'm so tired. Well, the positive self-talk is, I know I'm going to feel more energized. And then this is the big one. While skipping this one walk won't matter. In fact, I think I might add this to my repertoire. Every little bit makes a big difference. Actually, I did skip a snack today, so that little bit, I keep that in the back of my mind. So if you use the self-talk and you can, get these new habits, everything is going to start moving in a more automatic way. You're not going to have to think so hard about it. And it'll just become ingrained and part of the new you. You can actually, there's again, it's suggested that if you journal and if you keep an exercise log or write down your feelings about the progression, that you can be more successful around this new plan. So those are just a few tips. Well, I have a list here of some ideas of how to overcome some of the barriers. So spend just a few minutes there again. We want to be more positive than negative here. So in the last few minutes, just a couple minutes actually, we'll have to really breeze through some tips for overcoming barriers to exercise. And I think the two most common are lack of time and boredom. So, the lack of time, you can do 10-minute intervals with walking. It's pretty well established that 10-minute intervals, 3 10-minute intervals, you get the same benefits as if you had sustained a 30-minute walk. And think about your time wasters. Watching TV, put in a yoga DVD. Take some time there and plan exercise into your daily schedule. And then boredom, you can change it up. Again, for me, the aerobic yoga, I absolutely adore that. There's step classes. There's one at the club that I go to. It's called Butt and Guts. It's a hoot. Find actually the good point there. The instructor that does that, she's just a hoot and keeps everybody really energized, having a good time. Load some really upbeat music onto your iPod, your phone, so that when you're out walking, you really that music will push you forward. And learn new techniques, maybe get a new gadget, work out with a friend, or a group of people to distract you from what you're really doing. So this again, it's a journey of a lifetime. It'll make that lifetime longer for you, and while you're living, you'll be well and certainly enjoy every day of it. So I say namaste, and join me next month. You can listen to this program at www.wgxc.org and check the archive for Wellness Watch.